I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano Show. It's been a while since we've had on Stephen Moore. Stephen is the senior economist at FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org, formerly in the Trump administration, and formerly or somewhat there, I'm not sure, the Wall Street Journal. But what we're seeing with the stock market right now, what we're seeing with inflation is incredible and dangerous. Let's see what Stephen Moore thinks about that on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Stephen, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, and you're right. It's a tumultuous period with respect to the stock market and the economy. There's a lot going on. The last time I checked, I haven't checked in the last 45 minutes, the Dow was down about 300 points. But it's been a yo-yo. It's been going up and down. But over the last 10 days, you know, the market's lost about 7 or 8% of its value. So it's been a brutal market. And I think there's just a lot of fear out there right now that that the policies aren't right, that we're not doing the right thing for our economy. You know, we massively increased our debt last year, and those bills come due.
Is it that, or we're hearing, Stephen, you know, that people say the bubble's over, that type of stuff? I'm not in that camp, but you're the guy with expertise in it. Is there a consensus building on that?
You mean the bubble with respect to the stock market?
Yes, or how high it has surged. You know, yeah, I don't get it right. How it surged under Joe Biden right. Either. It seems counterintuitive to me.
Yeah. So, look, we've had a 10-year run on the market that's been just incredible. I mean, incredible. I mean, the market's doubled basically in 10 years. So that's a fabulous performance. Trillions and trillions of dollars of wealth have been created. Last year was a good year for the stock market. Would I be buying stocks now? No. No, I think, you know, what's the old rule? Buy low, sell high. The market's pretty high right now, so I'd be a little cautious. Now, what the market's going to do in the next few weeks or months, if I knew the answer to that, I wouldn't be doing this radio show.
That's right. We'd be beating it out of you in a back room somewhere, yes. Hey, Stephen, I'll give you something I'm heartened by, though. I thought it would take longer. I guess it's so overwhelming. You know, the smart people around Biden, or at least they think they're smart, all right, we're not going to tax people. We're not going to do that. But we're going to go big. All those historians whispering to them, you'll be FDR, LBJ. I think they still do. We know that influence. And they thought inflation would not be as noticed. And I think that's from like prehistoric times. With social media, just the simple ability of everybody in the world to take a picture or to notice something, to put it on Twitter, to share it. You cannot hide this. People notice it. It's not just the gas pump. And those empty shelves have become the meme, the narrative of the Biden years here.
That's well put. You know, I have this new book out called Govzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy. And, you know, when you think about this, we've spent, you know, somewhere in Biden's proposed $6 trillion of new spending. And that, you know, even Obama, when he was president, he proposed a $1 trillion, so-called stimulus plan. And we're like, $1 trillion? He wants to spend $1 trillion? Is he out of his mind?
Yep.
Of course, it didn't work. I mean, government spending doesn't stimulate anything but government. But the point is, you know, Biden is making Obama look like Ronald Reagan in comparison.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He spent $6 trillion. And thank God. Look, the heroes of our economy right now are Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. They saved us from what would have been a totally disastrous Build Back Better bill that would have massively increased funding for the IRS. It would have created, by my calculation, 24 new welfare programs. It would have given the United States the highest tax rates in the world. I mean, it would have reversed all of the, you know, economic gains we've made over the last several decades. So that's a good thing. But look, we've spent all this money, and when you spend and borrow money like that and print money, guess what you get? Inflation. I mean, this isn't rocket science, folks. I mean, most people understand that. You know, the poll show, people get that, you know, the Build Back Better bill. And I love Biden saying, if you want to stop inflation, pass my Build Back Better bill. It's like, what planet are we living on? How in the world is borrowing and spending $5 trillion going to make inflation better? And incidentally, I got to tell you, you know, if the members of Congress were private CEOs of companies and they did, and these, they did the bookkeeping like this, like the way Congress is doing it would be convicted of financial fraud and being put, you know, remember Biden saying, this won't cost a penny. It's all paid for. It's free. It's like free, $3 trillion deficit and, you know, $5 trillion of more spending. So,
Let me say this too, Stephen. By the way, your book is Gobzilla, the most recent book. Gobzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Freedom, released December 7th, 2021. It's guys like you. The first time I saw you, I told you I was still teaching. You were doing an ABC show. You were talking in there about economic matters and with very, very compelling images that have popularized
That might have been the John Stossel.
Yes, it was the Stossel. Yes. And your work, your work and others have made the American people, I think, more quickly savvy to this stuff. I thought they'll be able to hide the inflation a little bit more skillfully, dance around it, say, well, wages are going up too. Look, you're at $15 an hour. You know, kill time a month here and there, the media complicit with them, et cetera. But this is not going away through 2022, through the midterms. They're trying to tell us that it'll abate a bit. I don't understand why it would at this point. How do you see it?
So, you know, one of my favorite people was Herman Cain. I don't know if you remember Herman Cain.
Oh, sure.
9994.
Yes.
You know, he ran for – he was a great, great American. Anyway, he died about a year ago of COVID. It was sad. But his last book was called They Think We're Stupid. You know, and I always think about that book. I mean – they must really think we're stupid if they think that we're going to believe when they say spending $5 trillion is going to reduce inflation, or when, you know, Biden says, oh, the Afghanistan exit, that was a big success, or, you know, all of these things just, oh, you know, we're going to run this economy on windmills and solar panels. Really? I mean, does anybody really believe that stuff? And so this is.
Stephen?
American people have
you cut off a little bit there. Yeah.
Just saying, the American people are not stupid. We understand, you know, the basics of how an economy works. And no country in the history of civilization has ever spent, borrowed, and taxed its way to prosperity.
No, doesn't work. So on the stock market, then, what's your watchword for the rest of this week? What are you going to be doing or thinking about it?
Be cautious. You know, I'm not saying, you know, sell everything you got by any means. I'm saying, you know, be very cautious. This is a precarious economic situation right now. We've had an incredible run up in stocks, so they've been high. It's down, you know, about 8% over the last few weeks, which is a pretty big, you know, reduction. But, you know, and also I tell people, own some, you know, gold and some silver, some real assets, because, you know, if inflation continues, you know, what's the best hedge against inflation? It's generally gold. But now the new kind of hedge against inflation has been cryptocurrencies. But cryptos have gotten creamed.
Oh, yes. They are going to have a PR nightmare, do you not think, of coming back from this?
Well, we'll see. I mean, those crypto, you know, the best asset over the last 20 years to have owned, or last 15 years or so, is crypto's had an incredible run up. I have a friend who's 26 years old. He started buying crypto, you know, Bitcoin, when he was 18 years old with his lawn mowing money, and now he's a millionaire. So, you know, it's been an incredible run up, but I think, you know, they're pretty high right now. And but I like cryptos in the sense that they keep the, you see, the government hates cryptocurrencies because they're a private currency and the government
yes.
wants a monopoly on the money. And I like the fact that we've got private money out there. I think that's a positive thing, but I don't invest in things I don't completely understand. And I'm not so sure I understand. How
that is great wisdom. Hey, Stephen, thank you very much as always. And again, GovZilla, if you came up with that title, it's a great one, whoever did. Exactly right.
Awesome. Thanks. And talk to you very soon.
Thanks. Stephen Moore here on Talk Radio 1210. You know, periodically we check in with him, and this is, you know, not a good situation. Let me tell you something that I think is a good situation, and I know there are people reluctant on this. I want to go back to something that has been the great white whale out there for years. You know the figures, right, when we talk about voter ID, how popular that is across most demographics. Well, also in Pennsylvania, over the years, it's been incredibly popular, but not passionate in the forefront. That's why it doesn't take off, to say, hey, get your stinking state stores out of my booze. Get the government out of alcohol. We ought to be able to buy alcohol, not going off to dingy. It's kind of the one in the Giant where I bought a little bit of wine, I mean, it's a little bit dingier lit than the rest of the store because you're buying alcohol there. Why
so
can't
true.
We do? It
that's
is.
The one
yes.
near me, too. It's the same way. It's like the
you know what? Maybe that's the case then. Maybe that's the law, Dan.
Yeah, might be.
You know, I tell Roe, I'm an observer. I'm not looking at that woman. I'm just an observer. And I look at the dingy lighting in here. Can't I see what the wine? No, we don't want you buying the wine.
Signs must not be straight. They have to be a little bit crooked.
Yes.
The lights have to flip. Only one of the fluorescent lights. All the fluorescent lights can work at a lower level than the rest of the store. But one of them is, it has to flicker. There has to be the one light that always flickers.
That's a nice touch. So it's on, they're trying to put this on the ballot for 2023, and that would be to get the government out of the alcohol business, to privatize liquor. And my old friend and sparring partner, I went to talk before the, testified before the House Liquor Control Committee.
Wait, you did?
No, that would be Wendell Young.
Oh, yes.
Wendell Young IV. When I have Wendell, we got to get him back on, maybe tomorrow. He's always willing. And he doesn't like, they have a constitutional, a spot on the ballot to say, essentially, I'm looking for the exact language, that we want the government out of the business of alcohol. No state, none of this stuff. He says that's not a choice. It's a phony choice, and 5,000 people will lose their jobs. Now, you can say, well, Dom, come on. Republicans under Corbett had the House, they had the Senate, and they had the governor's mansion. Why didn't they get it done? And we went back, and I'll tell you why. Because Democrats are against this. They want more government. Particularly, they want these union jobs. It's big-time union jobs. Republicans in their inner circle in the Senate had any number of people that either had or hooked in one way or another to beer distributorships. In other words, these people that are quasi-middlemen. They were conflicted, and they really don't want to turn us loose. So we're the only state, there's one where it's not quite like this, but a little bit, that doesn't let adults buy alcohol like adults. Now, this is something where conservatives, certainly libertarians, and I would think a lot of liberals would come together. So what is the strange alliance that keeps this going? Let me detail it for you, then see what you think, because it might make its way onto the ballot again. Now, yeah, how many things can we put on the ballot? I'd like to see a lot more of them, because it cuts out all these forces. By on the ballot, I mean like we did on May 18th when we said, no, it's not an emergency, Governor Wolf. You can't say emergency, emergency, and just do whatever you want. Remember that? Well, this would say the government has to get out. All right, you got the teetotaler. In certain parts of the state, you have these ministers and these others. They don't want people drinking, and they're willing to come and try to stop you from drinking.
Now, how will Pat Gillespie handle this?
Yeah, we'll have to get Pat Gillespie back.
Now, how will, you know, because remember what he said.
Alcohol is a poison.
Alcohol is poison, Dominic.
I think we have that in our, thank you, Jim. It's a real good man. I think we have that in our Rolodex, in our
got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere.
We definitely overplayed that.
I would say,
time.
Well, Pat, wait a minute, though. Let's look at ethnic backgrounds here. You're telling me alcohol is poison. Come on.
Alcohol is poison, Dominic.
Thank you. So that's one group. Then there's the union types. Then there are the progressives and the politician types who dredge this up. And then there are the Republicans who are in on this. Beer distributorships, licenses, one thing or another. And they slow walk it. And here's the reason why it hasn't won and why I think this is the way to go. People are not passionate about this. This isn't something like impeach Krasner. Murder rate and all that, how arrogant he is. It's an issue that people agree on. Why the heck do we have to do this? So they make efforts, but Dan and I were kidding, not so kidding. They make it a bit more convenient, but the selection, like the Giant, there's no selection there. Wines, I couldn't tell you one thing from another. And the state stores, they've gotten better versus the bad old days. But if you actually have to compete or you go out of business, well, then it's going to be much better. So who in the world listening right now is against that? You'll have a chance probably about a year from now to vote to say, yeah, get the government out of the business of alcohol. They do not belong in it. Phone lines, 855-839-1210. We got the side question of the day, too. Let me take another one. Something that lived up to its height, a person, place, event, thing. Coming off the NFL games this past weekend, all four of them, particularly three of them, lived up to any hype you can imagine. A couple of them where you can't write that Chiefs game that actually happened. Let's go to Joe in Exton. And Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, what's yours today?
Hello, Dom, and good afternoon. My product that lived up to its slogan is M&M's. They melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
Well put. Well put. I think Xerox lived up to its hype so much so that we call it Xerox versus a copy.
Yeah.
All right.
You know something else that lived up to hype?
Yeah, go ahead.
I read a lot on Twitter today.
Good
Captain Chuckies.
Ah, always like that.
A lot of it's crazy. You do this in radio, right? And you you often advertise or discuss or you talk about restaurants and that kind of thing. I used to do a food show at a former station. I've never seen the kind of outpouring of support for Captain Chuckies that I see here on WPHT.
Yeah, constantly, unprompted.
I think it's just because of the quality of the food that they put out there.
Yeah, it is. And it's even the dance soup we get raves on. They sell a lot of it.
Yeah.
We have a Captain Chuckies spot coming up in a while. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. I am happy because of these dithering Republicans in Harrisburg to put these things up for a vote. I think this is going to win 78% to 80% to 20 or so to say, get the government out of the alcohol business. I mean, what kind of maniac cares that I buy alcohol at a private place versus going through the, quote, state stores or the liquor control? Why? You know, it's just like how popular the alcohol to go is, the cocktails to go and all that stuff. They're popular. Oh, you're going to see. It's always some scare story. I gave you the groups it comes down to. You don't like alcohol? Fine. Drink a soda. 855-839-1210. The problem is, and look, I've been at this for 20 years, trying to rally people around this. There's never one big focal point. And you always have these Republicans in the suburbs here that are hooked up in all this licensed stuff and beer distributorship. And they say, wow, look at these beer. They paid all this. Well, it's too bad. They made money out of this. Get the government out of this. What is fundamentally wrong with that? Why should we be the only state where this happens? AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. You're in with Dom and Dan and Jim on Talk Radio 1210.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
They say Brandon, you're a fine girl. What a good man. All right, welcome in, everyone. It's Dom Giordano. Welcome to a Tuesday here, 855-839-1210. We're getting the better ones on Twitter today. Sometimes happen, but side question. Something that lived up to its hype like the NFL this past weekend. Person, event, a thing. Get some great
ones. How about
ones.
Evel Knievel's jump over the fountains at Caesar Palace?
I would say yes. And I was just telling someone the other day, you know the thrill I get in a weird way when I said, good afternoon, Mr. Knievel.
And another person.
Might I call you, And then I followed up, can I call you Evel?
And another person that just passed away you wanted to interview, Mr.
Meatloaf.
Loaf.
Yes, Mr. Loaf. Yes. But I call you Meat. our buddy Howard Stern, Dan will have this in a moment, is now going after Meatloaf's family, trying to tell them to speak out about vaccination. God, this guy will not stop his self-destruction. But here's a question. I'll ask Jim first quickly and then Dan. Jim, Sean Hannity confidently stated last night he can beat Joe Biden in a push-up contest. A, do you think that's correct? And you might want to tell us what Hannity was thinking, Jim.
Well, you know what? I think yes, the answer would be, because if you hear Hannity, he says, look, I train every day with these martial arts men, and every 2 hours I'm out there and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And yes, I could do it, Dom.
All right. Could you beat Joe Biden in a push-up contest?
I could definitely beat, who, me?
Yes.
As Jim Kelly?
Yes. Who else are you? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well, you know, because you always come to me with these voice things, so.
Yeah.
But as can I as Jim Kelly? Probably, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But that would be totally unfair, but
okay.
If you want to do it for the sake of the Dom Show, why not?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dan, do you think you could beat Joe Biden?
Can Joe Biden do more than 3 push-ups?
That is undetermined. He says that all the time, though, when he says, let's meet out back. Let's run. Let's do push-ups.
So, yeah, I usually max out at about 3 push-ups. So as long as he can do less than 3, I think I'm, you know.
Hannity stating boldly, I could beat Joe Biden in a push-up contest. That's Fox News.
Yeah, I could do it, Dom. I could do it. And don't forget, we got Newt Gingrich on the show. Hannity, Fox News. And don't forget to set your DVR.
I wonder if Gingrich can do it. But anyhow, Dan, do we have Howard yet? You're working on it.
It's curse rated. I got
to. Oh, okay. You got to go.
Wait,
right, yeah,
if you need a Howard impression, it's like,
look, Robin, did you hear about Meatloaf? now, look, this guy, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know what to be more concerned about, the fact that I'm talking about Meatloaf or the fact I'm actually here doing a full show. It's it's Tuesday. I should be on a vacation somewhere.
All right. We'll play that when we have it. But he couldn't let it go. Yeah, he's probably back after taking Monday off.
He said he got sucked into some weird effing cult.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Howard said about Meatloaf. Yeah.
Well, we don't know that Meatloaf was unvaccinated. We know that he was against the vaccine mandates. And then he's calling upon the family now to speak out and tell people to get vaccinated. I don't think there's any information indicating he wasn't. You look, he's got a comorbidity there that's obvious. That's the thing that I think drives. We don't even know if he died of COVID. There were some rumors. All right, let me go to Ray in Warminster hanging in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ray, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Very well, Ray.
By the way, I hate Howard Stern, but that's a story for another day.
Okay.
So talking about the alcohol, I'm not really a big like wine or a booze drinker, but I'll tell you what will be nice in Pennsylvania. If I can go get more than a 12-pack at one time at, say, Wegmans or Giant.
Sure.
Why am I only allowed to buy upwards of a 12-pack? But I can go to a distributor
right.
and buy a case. And here's the other thing.
Because those stores, you have all these middlemen that have gotten in there and corrupted. That's the point I was making why Republicans didn't vote when they had the chance. Ray, they had overwhelming majorities, and they had the governor's office, and they couldn't get out of the booze business. We're the only state.
It's unbelievable, you know, and Wegmans, any of those supermarket styles around this area, you know, I saw them card a woman that had to have been in her 80s. It's like, what is the reason for you even carding somebody? It's obvious. Are they afraid? Is there something working in the background, like that they're just afraid that they're given these licenses and the government's just looking for them to screw up so they can pull
right,
them from
that
them?
They're highly prized, Ray. That's why you broke it down. And look, I think I can't imagine anyone listening thinks it ought to continue like this. The problem is people are on board with it. They don't get passionate about it. But if it were on the ballot, I think you're going to see they know it. There's going to be another 80% or so win around this thing. And they're going to come up with it. We get Wendell Young Jr. on, fourth, I think he is. You're going to hear, drunk driving's going to go up. Remember we heard that with the mixed drinks thing? People, you had to put them in you had to be covered, you had to put them in the trunk or something. Come on. It's just an endless brigade of government finding a reason. And Ray was asking, well, why can you do this and why? Because one of the biggest things they've done, you have to take a look sometime at the Pennsylvania taxation thing. One type of sweater is taxed, one is not. If you eat inside, I forget, a fast food, I think it's untaxed, but if you drive through it, or the other way around. They come up with one thing after another. Why? There's power. There's people that want to pay in political campaigns to keep this nonsense going. So again, you got the teetotalers in the center part of the tea part of the state. They don't want people drinking alcohol. Yeah, the mothers against drunk driving, another group, right? You have the people that have all these licenses and their friends and their politicians. You have progressives who see these union jobs there. And you put them all together, and they have just enough to keep Pennsylvania back in the dark ages. All right? Coming up, we're going to talk with Wen Fa, attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, also testified before Congress last year in Asian discrimination. And again, I'm not sure if it was his book. The term's been out there. There are two terms with Asians Americans. The inconvenient minority. They're inconvenient because they are definitely a minority group, but they're wildly successful. The other, progressives, can you imagine this term, and this isn't racist? Asian Americans are white adjacent. Well, they almost have privilege. They have PRIV. Oh, yeah, they're spelling that. That's what they have. Don't let them kid you. They have privilege, too. What difference would it make? Do we look at the NBA? Let's say Harvard's the NBA for a moment, which not, but let's just say that. And the NBA starting rosters, I mean, here and there, you have a few European players who are white. When I think of the NBA player, I can think of very few teams, other than if it's a 7-foot center or something like that, that start more than one white player. I just don't think you see it. Why is that? Is that discriminatory? No! It's because they're looking for the slightest edge to win. Okay? So Harvard thinks there is something wrong, though, if they had 50% Asian Americans there. And they've gone out of their way to discriminate against them. That's what this comes down to. You see it all over the place. These are the superstar scholars. by and large. Well, if they excel, others are just going to have to work just as hard to it. Nope, that's unfair. Why is that? Well, the Supreme Court is not only deciding that, but this would be a big blow to affirmative action in general. Finally, and every news report that's out there tells you, oh man, they've been waiting for this with those three new conservatives, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Coney Barrett. Uh-oh, here we go. They're going to roll back again. What will the world be like? Can you imagine that in 2022, we could essentially see an America with a greatly diminished affirmative action and a greatly diminished abortion on demand? I would argue that's a pretty pleasant thought for 2022. Others say it's The Handmaiden's Tale, it's dystopia. How much longer does affirmative action have to go on? And the people on the other side are saying, we're nowhere near where that's even a consideration. Well, what about the minority group of Asian Americans, though? Yeah, well, they can handle it. They don't get any special favors.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Is that Pacific Highway for our guest, Dan?
Oh, yeah, it works, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Ventura,
yes.
Highway, but yeah.
Yes. Wen Fa, attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, is with us. He's been with us several occasions before. This big lawsuit, it's chock full of a lot, broadly on affirmative action, but also Asian Americans in particular. The discrimination is rampant at places like Harvard and a lot of big schools. Wen Fa is an attorney with Pacific Legal Foundation on Talk Radio 1210. Wen, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Wen, I didn't look it up, so I ask you, since you know these lawsuits. Wall Street Journal keeps on talking today about a decile, D-E-C-I-L-E, and that's a key term in this lawsuit. What is a decile? Do you know?
Yeah, so it's basically tiers. I believe 10% tiers, top 10%.
Okay.
The first decile.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
So basically, I think the gist of it is that you have similarly situated students in terms of academic performance, whether it's standardized testing, GPA, objective measures for academic performance. You have similarly situated students. And some of them have a great chance to get into these universities, Harvard and UNC, and others have a terrible chance of getting into the same schools, and that's just based on race. So I think that's what these things reveal.
Yes, and it says that there's a higher chance of admission for African-American, black applicants, Wall Street Journal, in the fourth lowest decile, so that's around the fourth tier starting at the bottom, then Asian American students in the top decile, 12.8% for black students at the lowest level there, and Asians 12.7%, even if they're in the very, very top. So it's a two-pronged thing. It's a continuation of this, but it's also, let's face it, however you want to look at it, targeting Asian Americans.
It's certainly discrimination against Asian Americans, and I think that, you know, When we look at the term, Asian American, a lot of these racial categories are very broad, arbitrary categories. Asian Americans include people of dozens of different countries around the world, and even people from the same city in the same country are different individuals. But I think that's one of the problems with these broad classifications is that Harvard see these Asian Americans as overrepresented as a group, but they're not really treating them on an individual basis as the Constitution requires.
Well, let me give you, they're saying this is a specialized thing. We all know, I was just talking about the NBA a moment ago. You know, astounding numbers are African American. So they're saying, look, when it comes to education as experts, Harvard and these others are saying diversity means a whole lot more than Dom Giordano says. It's not just intelligence, diligence at your work, skill academically. It's diversity. Why don't you understand that, Wen? What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think the concept is a very dangerous one. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with the idea of diversity. I think viewpoint diversity is helpful in some contexts. But when you're talking about, for example, racial diversity, you're really treating people on the basis of their membership in a group. You're saying that you cannot get into this school because there are too many people who just look like you at the school. And that's a very arbitrary way of handling the admissions process. So we have to really, really peel back the layers and see that this is racial discrimination in furtherance of diversity. And I think we treat that just like racial discrimination in any other context. It is wrong no matter what the end goals are.
Yeah. Now, they referenced the case, and I remember this when it happened, because Sandra Day O'Connor was the deciding vote, a Reagan appointee, and that is Grutter versus Bollinger, 2003, a 5-4 majority endorsed the idea that race could be a plus factor to help colleges seek the educational benefits that flow from a diverse student body. They put an expiration date on that, which was roughly two decades. Well, we're right there. And she was the deciding vote. And I remember she had a lot of language saying, well, I think 20 years from now, I would argue the other side on this, the progressive side, has dug in and taken this to levels that are way beyond what the argument was before. Where, in their worldview, the United States is even worse now. We haven't made progress.
Yeah, so there certainly was a 25-year time limitation in the Grutter mm-hmm. case. I mean, to be sure, we believe that Grutter was wrong on the day it was decided, and it was wrong because it really carved out an exception. The Constitution and the civil rights laws in this country prohibit racial discrimination.
Yes.
What Grutter did was say that there was an exception in the context of higher education, and we just don't think that that's true. So Grutter should have been decided differently, but now that you know it was decided, we hope that this case, the Supreme Court will use these cases, I should say, the Harvard case and the UNC case, to overrule that erroneous decision.
And they will do it in this, I'm convinced. It's an obvious thing, given some of their statements before, including Roberts. The big thing is, though, where Roberts comes in this, I'd like to see a broader, given that window of Sandra Day O'Connor, on affirmative action. Is it your legal sense, though, they'll probably stick to the instant case here and not broaden it out?
Well, every case establishes precedent in other areas. But, you know, I do think that there is certainly a moment in this country right now with the debate between equality before the law, which is what we believe in, and the folks that believe in equity. I think this is a moment, and I think we have to really make the stand that you should treat each people as an individual. Mm-hmm. You should not discriminate against any individual based on his or her race. And, you know, programs that guarantee broad group-based outcomes, really, in some cases, they have to discriminate against individuals. And that's why we think that the whole notion of equity is wrong. And that's why we advance equality before the law and equality and opportunity for all.
I like how you brought that up. So they're doubling and tripling down on equity has made it clearly to any Supreme Court justice, they got to know equality under the law. That's what the country's about, not equal outcomes. So I'm glad that that word has gotten into the parlance a lot. We've had Kenny Hsu on a lot, too, when the author of Inconvenient Minority. And do you think it will come up during this, that terminology, inconvenient minority for Asian Americans, or worse, white adjacent? I don't know who the architect of that was, but that is as telling of a discriminatory term. put in just to keep Asian Americans into a column here?
Well, I really do think that this is what the particular type of racial stereotypes that these equity-based programs lead to. I mean, when you talk about Asian Americans, when you talk about any person, regardless of race, every person should be treated as an individual. They all have their own unique individual characteristics, their own individual aspirations, abilities, and achievements. And it's wrong for people to box any individual in based on his or her race. And I think that's exactly what these equity type programs do.
I asked you a little bit. We've had different people on WNFA over the years, though. There is no doubt that significant numbers of people are excelling, in broadest terms, that are Asian Americans. I take your point about how they're lumping in all kinds of 90 countries here with this. And when we look at it, there is nothing wrong about it. It's something we ought to celebrate. It's the basic stuff: diligence, family, attention to this, drive. I mean, there's nothing magical here. There's no, you know, the thing that's out there, been out there sometimes. Well, it's because people get a leg up when they come into this country as immigrants. Well, what do we say to people that have been here 20, 30, 40 years that are succeeding?
I think we should absolutely celebrate achievement. We should celebrate hard work. We should want opportunity for every individual. And I think the crux, one of the crux, the key points in this debate that is really going unmentioned is that this is not just a college issue. This is also a K through 12 issue. This is also a pre-K issue. And we do a lot of our equality work in the K through 12 context here at Pacific Legal Foundation. But you have to really consider that a lot of students of all races, but I think disproportionately underrepresented minorities, are stuck in failing public schools with no opportunity to get out. And that's why
exactly.
I think we want that's why I think we want sort of an integrated approach that is not just against racial preferences, but also for things like school choice and opportunity for everybody to succeed.
Well put, as always. Wayne, thank you very much. Good luck with this. We'll keep our eye on it, as always.
Thanks so much.
Wayne Fah here on Talk Radio 1210. And when this comes up and that white adjacent stuff, I've even done shows where the high school was out there in Capistrano, California. And it was a high-powered high school. You had some white students and their parents fleeing that school because there were a number of Asian students there, and they said they couldn't compete with them. They were going to study too hard. They were going to work too hard. Oh, well. And here, old Harvard and these others who want to talk about hatred of Asians. Let's face it, Alan Dershowitz, when he's on, puts it well. Harvard did this to Jewish students way back when. There were too many. They were too smart. They were too driven. All the same sorts of arguments. It's amazing. This shows you what scoundrels progressives are, what stinking scoundrels they are. That they have to collude language and everything else in order to block people who are living the American dream. Yeah, well, we can't compete with that. Hey, it's America. You have to. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Don't forget the side question of the day. Dom with Dan and Jim on Talk Radio 1210.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, it's that time of the afternoon when producer Dan Borowski takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan Time with Dom. And Dom, you asked for it earlier, and I do now have the clip of Mr. Howard Stern lambasting Meatloaf, Dom, over his, well, first of all, it's really fresh. You know, Meatloaf just passed last
yes.
week. Yes. But he's already making comments about
three
the vaccines,
or 4 days.
Trying to make
yeah.
political points using Meatloaf's
yes.
passing. This is what Mr. Stern had to say.
I don't like censorship, but when you're talking about life and death, like poor Meatloaf got sucked into some weird cult and somehow really believed that He made a statement. I'd rather die a free man than take that vaccine. And now he's dead. And I guarantee
That's
you, I wish the family would come forward and say, you know, when Meatloaf was laying there in the hospital and he couldn't breathe, he said, I made a mistake. I should have taken the vaccine. Like all these anti-vaxxers, they all say, I made a mistake. But they're out there spreading it. So Neil Young, in my book, can do no wrong. This guy is a man of conviction. You might think, well, hey, Neil Young, it ain't going to do any good. But Neil Young, this is Neil Young's belief.
So right, dumb.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't have a point to make. I want you to make the point here. What's your first thought of after hearing
well,
that?
Well, the key word he said there, you know, I'm sort of against censorship, but I think this ought to be censored.
Yep.
Then the other point, Neil Young, who's a maniac, we know what's behind that. It's Joe Rogan that Neil Young is going after.
Yeah, I want to pick up where we left off because he just lambasts Meatloaf for having a personal stance on something. Then he has this to say about Neil Young.
But Neil Young, this is Neil Young's belief. And
yes,
Neil Young doesn't bow to any man or woman or corporation.
And he comes off like a real hippie, like some of the older hippies I know from around here at Ashbury.
So, yeah,
drug addled, yes.
And then this talks glowingly about Neil Young, Dom. So, ridiculousness from Howard Stern. And what he's talking about is what I want to talk about here on Dan Time with Dom. Neil Young has been trending all day because we haven't talked about it on today's show, but I'm sure you've heard, Dom. Neil Young has threatened to pull his music from a streaming service called Spotify because that's where Joe Rogan is, and he singled out Joe Rogan, calling out Joe Rogan's vaccine misinformation. So now Neil Young's out there making a political stand saying, take my music off of Spotify. Well, first question for you, Dom, is I know your thoughts of Neil Young. Does this further kind of solidify his liberalism to you? And two, do you think there's any anything that can be taken out of this pridefully, as Howard just tried to say?
No, I mean, Neil Young has a right. I mean, not only that, I don't know if he's made the correct calculation with the 12 million Rogan people on Spotify and what Neil Young means to them. But I go back to Dan, and I know you got another point here, but Stern saying the word censorship, well, you know, I don't. And what he's doing is he's talking about misinformation, disinformation. Let's censor it. He's starting to edge to be a complete shell, a complete, without a doubt. He was the, if I think of the template, the face of anti-censorship, it was Stern, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look where we are now. It's a sad case because, you know, you look at a situation like we have today where it's a lot of people, you know, pushing back against the government, a rising counterculture. You would think Howard Stern of the 90s would be the one leading the charge, but here he is becoming the spokesperson for the opposite agenda. It's nuts.
Well, he could say about Meatloaf, look, you know, a guy with this comorbidity that's obvious, probably underlying health problems, you know, that's the thing that's going to get you with this. He can make that point. But he starts with a cult, and he starts tacking the word freedom on this.
Yeah.
You know, isn't he the one that would stand on that he had the right to say, oh, I don't know, I wish the FCC director got prostate cancer, if you remember.
Mm. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
So, boy, what is it? Just, I don't know. I think it's more Stern, but there's a lot of this with COVID, Dan. This is a slow devolution of Stern, but COVID is just accentuating it.
Yeah, and just another story out of Amsterdam, Dom. Mm-hmm. A stowaway from South Africa flew the entire flight 11 hours from South Africa to Amsterdam in the landing gear compartment, and stowed away and successfully made it to South Africa, or to Amsterdam. Amsterdam officials are investigating. But Dom, 11 hours sitting in a cargo bay. Pretty uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, well, I've been boxed in some air flights with some people.
I was going to say.
But that's, yes.
There's some times when I see the legroom. I'm a tall guy. It's hard to find
legroom.
Where I kind of wish I could go into the cargo department myself, but you hear it's freezing in there, the temperatures.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine what it's like. It must be pretty noisy. I don't think you're getting a good nap. All right, big 2 o'clock hour coming up. Dom's Money Melody and 2 graffiti artists, Doom and Bread, tell us why they're not going to stop it in Philadelphia on Action News. That's straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.